Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. You will be turning your Bibles with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 35, we're going to see a particular phrase used a couple of times that maybe we could use in our day-to-day lives as we try to talk to others about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, many in the world today base their understanding of Jesus, base their understanding of His disciples on the opinions of others. Some base their opinions of Jesus and His church by the actions of her members. Now, while Jesus did give the world the right to base their judgments of the church upon their behavior, upon the behavior of the members, John 13 and verse 34, sometimes the church as a whole does not portray Jesus in the proper light. That's just the sad truth of the matter. So I want us to discuss some things this evening in light of John chapter 1, 35 through 51, as we'll read here in just a moment. I want us to discuss some things this evening about getting to know the real Jesus. And how we go about doing that. I want us to notice how Jesus' first disciples came to an understanding of the truth about Him here in this passage. Let's begin reading together in John chapter 1 and verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." "Where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is, by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Friends, the title of our sermon this evening is, "Come and See." You see, as the disciples, as we'll get to here in just a moment, as Andrew was there, one of their questions was, "Where did Jesus dwell?" And Jesus' simple response was, "Come and see." When Philip went to Nathanael, and Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip simply answered, "Come and see." Friends, if we want to get to know the Jesus of the Bible, if we want to get to know the Christ that God promised, if we want to get to know the man, the person, the God in the flesh that gave His life for us, we have an open invitation given by Jesus Himself to come and see. If we're going to come and see, If we're going to get to know Jesus, friends, number one, we have got to get beyond the small talk. We see that in verses 35 through 38. We see in that particular passage, as we already read concerning this, that they asked Jesus a question. John said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard that. Now notice what they did immediately when John, this one that they had been following, the one that had been making straight the way of the Lord, when they heard these things, when they heard John, this man whom they had been following, say, "Behold, here it is, here's the one that was promised," immediately they turned away from John and followed Jesus. They realized something. They needed to get beyond the small talk, and so they went and they asked Jesus. They followed him. "Master, Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" And rather than Jesus telling them and pointing over that hill there, you'll see, you'll come upon this red house, and I live in the room in the back corner back there. Jesus simply said to them, "Come and see." Now, friends, think about that for a moment. They were sincere in their request. They needed to know more about this man of whom John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." They needed to find out all they could about him, and so they were going to follow him, number one. And then when Jesus saw that they were following, and he wanted to know what they saw, and they asked where he dwelt, think about that for a moment. They wanted to come to his home. Friends, that could be a lesson to us, can't it? In and of itself. We need to get into each other's homes. We need to be hospitable. We need to have that kind of fellowship, that kind of relationship with one another. You can't really know anybody, can you, really, until you sit across the dinner table from them. That's where certain things are discussed. It's beyond Andrew and the unnamed disciple. They changed the what of Jesus' question. Jesus said, "What seekest thou?" into a who. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Christ, and they wanted to know, "Are you Him?" So they asked, "Where do you dwell?" They didn't want riches. They wanted a relationship. This question, "Where are you staying? Where are you dwelling?" That's an honest inquiry. That's an honest question. Trying to get to know the Savior. Now friends, think about that. You can tell an awful lot about a person by entering their home. It's around the dinner table you find out about people's passions. You find out about their family histories. You hear what makes them laugh, what desires they have. Friends, the disciples really, honestly wanted to know Jesus. They were seeking an Ephesians 3:19 kind of knowledge. They wanted to know the love of Christ. They were seeking after the love of God to be filled with all the fullness of God. And so they followed him when he said, "Come and see." You see, friends, most people in their quest to know Jesus, they desire something, some feeling in some sense. Many people come to a worship setting and leave without seeing Jesus because maybe they wanted to be entertained. And they walk out the doors in the morning or in the evening, they say, "I didn't get anything out of that. That didn't really do anything for me." Friend, what were you looking for? Were you looking for Jesus, or were you looking to be entertained? Were you looking to have a feeling of some sort? Friends, we can't know Jesus when we treat Him as a casual acquaintance, or in some cases even as an enemy. You can't know Him. How well do you know your casual acquaintances anyway? Their name, maybe? Maybe you've exchanged phone numbers? Maybe you know where they live, but have you ever been inside their house? We can't know Jesus if we treat Him as a casual acquaintance. And we sure can't know him if we treat him as an enemy. You want to see what's so great about Christianity? You want to see what caused the conviction until death, the unwavering commitment of faithful martyrs? Think about the countless first century Christian friends who died. Why? For what purpose? Why would they suffer themselves to be wrapped in green animal hides and thrown to the lions and the bears? Why would they suffer themselves to be tied to a stake, have wood piled around their feet, and set on fire? Why would they suffer themselves to be dipped in oil and hung in a garden as lamps? Why would they suffer those things if they didn't know the Lord intimately? How do we do that today? Friends, we've got to get deeper than just a small talk. That's part of the purpose of some of the things that we do. Maybe we don't do them often enough, but like our Digging Deeper Sundays, that's part of that purpose, to get a better understanding of who God is. That's what these disciples were seeking. That's what Andrew was looking for, a deeper knowledge, a better and stronger relationship with God, and he found it in Christ. Come and see, Jesus said. We want to know our Lord and our Savior. We've got to get beyond just being a casual acquaintance. We've got to get beyond the small talk. Number two, we need to inquire honestly as these men did. Notice again 39 beginning. He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, friends, notice what happened immediately when Jesus said, come and see. The very next phrase says, they came and saw. What if Jesus had said, come and see, and Andrew and the other disciples simply said, we'll catch you later. We'll come and see where you live later. I've got other things to do. You know, there are fish to be caught, and I need to go fill up my nets tonight. What if that had been the case? You know, for one thing, on Andrew's part, we probably never would have known Peter. Because who was it that brought Peter to Christ? Andrew. He's the one that went to him and brought him to Jesus. This was an honest inquiry before. And now as Jesus says, come and see, we see how honest their inquiry was, because the very next phrase says, they came and saw. They went. Friends, that's a lesson to us. We must accept the invitation to come and see. When Philip, after Jesus had gone to him, and Philip being a Bethsaida, Philip findeth Nathanael, verse 45. He went, Andrew went, found Peter. Philip went, found Nathanael. We have found the Messiah. And when Philip told Nathanael who it was, Philip's first response, initial response, I don't believe it. Who ever heard of anything good coming out of Nazareth? What good thing could ever come from there? And Philip's simple response was what? Come and see. Come and see. Was it an honest inquiry on Nathanael's part? Had to have been, because what did he do? He came and saw. In the eyes of many in Nathanael's day at that point, he had the prerogative to be skeptical about the Messiah, especially with all the false Christs that have made their appearances over time. While having a healthy doubt, he nonetheless had pure intentions, as he was truly seeking to find the truth about Christ, about Jesus. Jesus himself said of Nathanael that he was an Israelite in whom there is no guile, in whom there is no deceit. So Nathanael came to the situation without prejudice, slightly skeptical, but without prejudice. He wasn't foolish either. Now, even though he came with the original thought, surely this isn't him. We've heard of people calling themselves the Christ before, the Messiah before, and we've never heard of any really good thing coming out of Nazareth, so this can't be him. But, you know, I've got to find out for sure. And when Jesus said to him concerning where he had been and how he knew him, what was Nathanael's response? Let's look at it. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, Master, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Friends, if we're going to know Jesus, if we're going to know God, we need to ask honestly. We need to inquire honestly. We need to mean the question when we say, what shall I do to be saved? When we say that we really want to know our Lord. Ultimately, Nathanael said, Rabbi, Master, you are the Son of God. Now, friends, that is precisely what so many do with the black and red letters that are bound tightly and titled B-I-B-L-E. What possibly can happen from reading the Bible? I had that question asked of me while in Jamaica. We're having a Bible study with a young lady and her boyfriend, her husband, maybe it was her son, I don't know, came out and simply asked the question, and asked the question and took off. I don't know where he was going. But it made her ask the question, and so we had to end up having a longer study. But he asked the question, read the Bible, and then what? Friends, someone that asks such a question doesn't truly understand the power of the Word of God. They ask the question, what can possibly happen? What can possibly come from reading the Bible? Friends, if we're going to ask questions, then we need to truly seek answers. And while that young man asked a question, he wasn't seeking the answer. It wasn't asked in sincerity. It wasn't asked honestly. But when we look at Nathanael, when we look at Andrew, we see honest inquiries. They wanted to seek after the answer to their questions. That's the way Nathanael searched, and he was praised for doing so. Friends, let me ask you this. Those of you that may be here tonight that maybe aren't Christians, what is there to be scared of? What is there to be scared of? What can it possibly hurt to pick up this most prized possession and get to know the one that Nathanael realized was the Son of God? What if Nathanael had stood his ground? What if he had stayed under the fig tree? When Philip came to him and said, we have found the Messiah. And Philip said, he is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one about whom we have read. What if he had stayed under that fig tree and said, I don't believe it because nothing good has ever come out of Nazareth? What if he had refused the invitation to come and see? Then he never would have found the Lord. Notice what Nathanael found. Friends, when we come and see, we're going to find something. There's no doubt about that. Notice verses 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Friends, he found the Messiah when he came and saw. He found the Savior. He found the one that would give his life's blood for the remission of our sins. Let's look at this passage as a whole once more. We're not going to take the time to read it, but I want you to think about it as a whole. In verse 36, when we come and see the Lord for what He is, We see in verse 36 that He is the Lamb of God. John said it. He was a witness to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. We see it prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. That's what John was talking about. We see it in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Paul repeats it in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. He is the Lamb of God. In verses 38 and 50, we find an interested shepherd. Notice verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He took an interest in those that were following Him. Wanting to know what they were looking for. And basically, with their answer, they said, it's not who. Or not what, rather, but who. We're looking for you. Friends, He is an interested shepherd. We see it also in verse 50. In the end there, thou shalt see greater things than these. We see also a mediator, verse 51. We find a God that knows where we are concerning the shepherd. He is the one and only shepherd for us. We find a Savior that has incredible compassion for us. He's the Messiah. He's the Lamb. We have a mediator, verse 51. 1 Timothy 2, 4 and 5. He desires all men to be saved. He is the one and only mediator between God and man. He's the only one that's qualified to be the mediator between God and man. And heaven has been opened by Him. No other one can do that. That's what we find when we come and see. Friends, consider what Jesus has done as He makes that statement there in verse 51. Consider what He has done as we see through the great imagery of Genesis chapter 28. And that He has made what Jacob dreamed a reality. When He says, you shall see the angels of heaven ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Verse 50, friends, ultimately, what you come to find in Jesus is the greatest friend you can ever have. The one who has the power to make you what you ought to be. Not what others think you are. Not what you may have been. But what you ought to be. We sing the song in a Bible class with our young ones. We sing it at Vacation Bible School and on other occasions. That Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 35. And friends, as we think about those things, and we extend the invitation here in just a moment, won't you come and see? Won't you get to know Jesus of Nazareth? Won't you get to know the Messiah, the promised one, the one that bled and died upon the cross for the remission of your sins? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Be ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, are you here tonight not knowing Jesus Christ? That is, you don't really know what the Bible has to say concerning Him. If that's the case, let me ask you another question. Are you willing to ask the right questions? And if you're willing to ask the right questions, are you willing then to honestly seek the answers? And friend, if that's the case, I would be more than happy. Rick would be more than happy. Any number of people here, I'm sure, will be more than happy to sit down and open the Scriptures and study with you to get to know better our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, friend, our question for you tonight is, will you come and see? Will you come and see the real Jesus Christ? Won't you get to know Him? Come and see what He's truly all about. Are you here tonight not knowing Jesus? Get to know Him tonight, friends. If you need to study His Word, friends, please don't leave here tonight without opening it with us, looking at what the Bible has to say concerning this man we call Jesus, the one that bled upon the cross for the remission of our sins. Friend, if you're here tonight knowing who He is, but haven't done anything about it, would you do something about it tonight? Would you have a better and deeper relationship with Him, getting to know Him even better by putting Him on in baptism? Because, friends, the simple truth of the matter is, even though you may know who He is, you don't know Him until you put Him on in baptism. Because it is then that His blood washes you of your sins and He adds you to His church and you become part of His family. Would you do that tonight? Friend, are you here having done that? Have you forgotten who He is? That is, you've wandered away from Him. He's waiting on you with open arms to get to know Him again. Won't you come and see? Come now while we stand and while we sing.